Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, we're looking at the start of December, Little Houndale's wrist warmers, one cable mitts, the importance of the right cast on and bind off, keeping your needles tidy, and much more. Hello and welcome to episode 32 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather. I'm at The Ord Knitter on Twitter. I'm The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram and Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry. Well, here we are again. I have loads to talk about this week for no particularly good reason, just all sorts of interesting odds and ends that have come up since last week. But unfortunately this morning, I'm slightly against the clock. I have somebody coming later and I've got quite a few things to do before then. So if it looks like it's all going to get a bit out of control, I might save some of it for next week. Can you possibly wait? It's Tuesday the 29th of November. Only one more day of November left to go. And then December is upon us. What does December mean to you? Obviously in the UK, December is dominated by one thing only, but in our family we have some birthdays in December as well. In fact, the birthday machine starts rolling in October and doesn't really come to an end until the end of January, and then we have a little bit of a breather. But I quite like December for all sorts of reasons, not, you know, just to, all to do with presents and things. Do you have Christmas traditions in your family? I'm sure you must. Everyone has something that they do. And one of the things that we do early on in the season, it's very silly, but I'm quite pleased about that. We all sit down and we watch the Muppet Christmas Carol, and it's just silly and it's funny. And when my son was younger, he used to get a little bit worried about the Ghost of Christmas Future can be quite scary. But as he's got older, he's taken to that and it's just quite fun. We always put our Christmas tree up early in December. Personally, I'd quite like to leave it a bit later, but I'm in a minority of one in our house with that. Some very generous people have already given me some presents for the children, and they're wrapped, and hiding wrapped presents is so much harder than hiding things that are just in a very unexciting carrier bag or a plain cardboard box. So that's challenged some of my skills this week. Also, I've been helping my son to learn songs for his carol concert. I'm quite pleased to be moving on from the whole nativity play thing. When my daughter was first small, and it was really sweet and lovely, but, you know, as you'll know, if you've got children, especially if you've got more than one, by the time you've sat through inaudible, heavily prompted nativity plays year in, year out for several years, that, you know, the guilt comes off the gingerbread a bit. So that's where we're at. End of November, finishing up, sort of not being not Christmassy and ready to go into being Christmassy. And obviously Christmas knitting is a major part of that. And I was making, I think I was talking last week, I was making some Little Houndale's wrist warmers for a friend of mine. The Little Houndale's wrist warmers are lovely. They are the simplest wrist warmer you could possibly find. They're knit flat, they're stocking stitch, they've got rolled cuffs, and then you seam them and you just leave a little bit for the thumb. So it really couldn't be simpler. And I decided I wanted to put in a snowflake pattern on the back of the hand, and I charted something based on a chart I'd already found. And I said last week I was going to put the link to that, and I didn't. I really will do it this week. And I bought a few weeks ago some sparkly silver yarn from Aldi. And I thought this would be great. I thought it was a DK, but it became apparent to me as I knitted that it was a little bit thinner. And I was getting some sort of telltale little gaps around those stitches where they joined in with the others. And I wasn't crazy about, but I thought that blocking might help that to settle down. But when I had finished the first one and I sort of mocked up a seam and I sort of put it on my hand, the design was too close to the thumb. I thought I had judged it quite well, but quite simply I hadn't. I shouldn't be surprised. And I just decided I wasn't happy with them. Between the yarn being a bit thin and then the motif being a bit far over. Also, I felt they were slightly snug, and I remember thinking this before, even though I really like them. I modified the second pair that I made when I was making them in the spring, and I actually made them too big, so somewhere in between would be about right. You probably want about 3 or 4 extra stitches, I think. I mean, I don't have particularly slender hands, but at the same time, they're not shovels, so I think they're pretty average, and another 2 or 3 stitches I think would make a difference. Anyway, I realised actually that this friend of mine, she's lovely, she's one of my oldest friends, but she's not a knitter, and I don't think she gets hand knits. And I've never knitted her anything really involved, never knitted her clothing or anything. But she made a, not unkind, but a jokey reference to something I'd made her a few years ago. And she was talking about it in fond terms, but in my head, something, a little flag just went up that said, I don't think she's really somebody who appreciates hand knits. So I've actually decided that I might do her a bauble, because that's a bit different. If these actual balls ever arrive, they should have come by yesterday and they haven't, so if they don't arrive today, I'm going to follow it up. But I've basically decided that other than possibly doing a bauble, this person is off my hand knit Christmas list, which is a bit of a relief, to be honest. I don't know what I'm going to get her instead, but I'll worry about that when I'm in Tiger or something. So that actually makes life slightly easier. And I then wanted on the next person on my list, and I wanted to do mitts for her as well. But she's somebody who's very much into colour, and I wasn't going to buy any new yarn, so whatever I knitted had to be made out in a weight of yarn of which I had something fairly bright. And I found a beautiful, fairly bright turquoise, and I think it's wool. It's a little bit hard to tell because it's just a rolled up ball. I think it was given to me along with some other things from my mother, and it was given to her, so there's no label or anything. It's clearly a hand wound ball, so I have absolutely no idea what it is, but it's a really lovely colour. It's a worsted weight, and judging by the way that fibres are standing up from the yarn, that's what makes me think it's a natural fibre of some sort, a natural animal fibre. So I found a lovely pattern called One Cable Mitts, and that's designed by Valerie Teppo, Teppo. Again, that's a free Ravelry download. And I did something in that I've never done before. Obviously, most patterns come with a gauge. There are some that say gauge not important, but for these, the gauge is important because if it's too big or too small, the mitts will be too big or too small. So when I had done a few rounds, because I'm not going to go as far as swatching, you know, I have my limits. I'd done a few rounds, 5 of the cuff, and I measured it against what the gauge should be, and I was getting only 6 stitches to an inch, and you should have been getting 8. So I went down 0.5 millimetre size on my needles. I went from a 5.5 to a 5, did the next 5 rows, and that's fine. But I don't mind having that, having it a little bit more chunky on the cuff. I don't think that's going to be a bad thing. I certainly didn't feel the need to rip them out and redo them, because I think the difference was going to be relatively subtle when it's on a cuff on your wrist, and you can't really tell by looking. But I was pleased to have bothered with that, and it did make a difference. So gauge is something I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to in future. The only thing that bothers me when you have a gauge given and it says or needle size to obtain gauge, you know, yarns and needles work together to give you a particular effect with your piece of work. I'm not particularly keen on anything that has a big needle and a thinner yarn. I don't like that open look, which I think is why I've never particularly gravitated towards crochet, because many crochet pieces that I see, you have that more open look. I like a stocking stitch. I like that close knit, and I would always rather use, if I had to make a change, I'd always rather use a slightly smaller needle with a slightly thicker yarn, because I prefer that overall close knit effect. So that's what bothers me with potentially going down a needle size with some patterns and yarn weights that are stipulated, in case in order to get the right stitch count you have that more open effect. Anyway, I've made 1 of these mitts so far. I was going to do them 2 at a time, although obviously mitts, well, fingerless mitts, they're not closed at the end, but I know how to cast on, or should I say, I've seen a video, I've never actually done it, but I've seen a video of how to cast on to knit 2 tube shapes at a time, which from what I recall is essentially, if you're doing magic loop, cast on half of one, then cast on half of the other, shift everything around, cast on the second part of the other, and then go back and cast on the second part of the first bit that you cast on. That's what I pick. That's what I recall from this video. And I was going to do this because I've been wanting to give it a whirl, but when I knit two at a time, I go against the advice and I knit from both ends of a skein of yarn. But because of the way this has been hand wound, there's no way I could find the other end of the yarn. So I just thought, sod it, I'm just going to do them one at a time. And in fact, it is a really quick knit. You only do three repeats of the cable. There's an awful lot of just plain knitting, so it's pretty quick. I've got no worries that, you know, I could get them done in a couple of days if I really had to. I've had a load of other stuff going on, so I haven't had as much time as I would like. And plus, my son's been ill, so he hasn't been at swimming. So that's, I'm losing about, 2 hours knitting time with him not going to swimming. So I've done the first one, and for the first time ever, I had to knit a thumb gusset. Now, this is not something I've come across before. I got the concept, but my execution was a bit naff, to be honest. I was looking at it last night and my heart was sinking a bit. And I did consider ripping it all out and just not having any sort of thumb covering at all, similar to the little Houndales, just having a gap. But because of the way that the thumb gusset is constructed, that I would have really bodged that probably worse. So I have done it and I have left it as it is, but I'm not particularly pleased with it. But I'm going to do the second one and see if that's better. And if I make a better job of the second one, I might just go back and actually just redo the whole of the first mitt with a better thumb gusset. But I don't know. It's these sorts of things, really small numbers of stitches and situations where you can have that gap. One of the reasons I do the flegel heel on socks is because you don't get that gap at the apex of the heel, and you get that with the thumb gusset. So it's not really awful, but it's not good. So we'll just have to see how that pans out. But it's a nice pattern, and if you've got a yarn with a little bit of texture or a little bit of variegation in it, I think it would come out really well. I'm not usually a fan of cabling with a patterned yarn, because to me it's a little bit too much, you know. But I think with this style, especially if your yarn wasn't too hectic a pattern, that this turquoise that I'm using, it's got a slight a very slight marl in it, I think, just to do with the way that it's been wound and what it's been spun rather and what it's been spun with. It just gives it a little bit of interest, just enough, and with the cable as well, it all comes together. So the pattern's lovely, it's just, you know, shame about the execution. Mentioned in the intro the importance of which cast on and bind off you use. When I first started knitting, I didn't realise that there was more than one type of cast on or bind off, which led to some quite interesting sock cuffs. My daughter plaintively asking once if the next pair could be a little bit more stretchy. Since then, obviously, I've learnt the error of my ways, and I have certain cast-ons that I use more frequently than others. Frequently, I'm making things that need stretchy cast-on, because I make so many garments. So that's why I'm using... I can never remember. I get confused between Judy and... I think it's Jenny Stallman's. Jenny's amazingly stretchy cast-on. As opposed to Judy's Magic Cast On, which is what you use for sock toes, which is also rather lovely. So I use that stretchy cast on a lot. And if I need a stretchy cuff, I will use, again, I think it's Jenny's amazingly stretchy bind off. But the other thing that I use is Russian bind off, and I'm using this more and more now. In fact, almost anything that isn't a sock, and especially if it's being given away to someone else who might not appreciate the ruffly finish that you get with Jenny's stretchy bind off. I'm concentrating so hard to say the right one each time. So I recently made another one of the Capitan hats for my mother-in-law. After all that, my husband managed to leave it behind when he went down, but I sent it down instead, and she's really pleased with it, and I don't think she's just being polite, so that's lovely. So in the pattern for the Capitan hats, the third one that I've done, it recommends the long tail cast on. Now, I didn't do it for two reasons. One is that I'm very lazy about measuring up properly for a long tail cast on, so I always end up with miles and miles of excess yarn. But the other thing is that I mean, I could be wrong. This might just be ignorance on my part, but I don't consider it to be a stretchy cast on. And if you're making a hat, you need that stretch for when you're putting it on. I did Jenny's amazingly stretchy cast on, or if that's exactly what it's called, as I would normally do in these situations. And I think as I've done for the last two, this time, finally, once and for all, it hit me why she recommends the long tail cast on. Because once you finish knitting the actual hat, when you come to do the brim, you pick up stitches. And if you've done this super stretchy cast on, it's actually really difficult to pick up the stitches because of the way the yarn moves. It was an awful lot of swearing went on. And initially, you pick up 14 stitches. But as you construct the brim, I think of the brim like a duck's bill or a half moon shape, maybe a sort of crescent moon. That's the best phrase, crescent moon. And to get the width of it, because you're only starting with those 14 stitches, you pick up stitches at the end of each knit and each purl row. So over the constructing the entire width of the brim, you are picking up a lot of stitches, and it's more tricky from that type of cast on edge. And I realized, I don't know if I'd made it particularly difficult for myself this time. I was also wanting to get it done by a certain time, so I was pressurizing myself. But it will be interesting. I'm going to make another one for my mother, and it will be interesting to see whether I will do the long tail cast on and see when it comes to the picking up, whether it does actually make an appreciable difference. Are you a tidy knitter? Do you keep all your things together, or are you one of those, a little bit like me, who has things a little bit scattered because as soon as you tidy it away, you're going to want something? I have a table that's to my left. I tend to sit in the same place in the evening because I'm middle-aged and it's allowed. And this table next to me has most of my day-to-day knitting things on it. It has the pouch with my circulars in. It has my Notions bag. It has the knitting bag that I sort of use when I go out and about, my small knitting bag as opposed to my I Love Beer bag. It has odds and ends. An awful lot of things go to die there. It also has my incredibly heavy but very useful pattern holder. But it can get a bit out of hand. If I've finished a project, I'll put the rest of the skein of yarn on the table, and it might sit there for a fortnight before I put it away, because I know as soon as I put it away, I'm going to want something. But I saw a post on Instagram last week by a user called Ragline Knits. She's American, and she was knitting in the car. They were stuck in traffic on a Thanksgiving trip, and she was just posting a picture of herself doing this and talking about what she was knitting. And what struck me is that when you look at the picture, she has on her lap, she's got a few things. She's actually amazingly organized. She's got a project bag, a pattern, and her circulars pouch. Looks like a KnitPro circular pouch to me, because it's exactly the same one that I've got. And her needles were really, really neat. Now, if you'd looked at my circulars bag on the same day, it looked like spaghetti. You know, it's just an explosion in a circular needles factory. And I asked her a question on it. I said, do you take your needles apart every time you finish a project? And she said, yeah, it's really easy. And I thought, well, you know, that would help me, actually. It doesn't help that the zip on my KnitPro pouch broke pretty much immediately, and someone else said the same thing happened to them. But, you know, I'm not going to let that get in my way. And I thought, you know, just think how lovely, think what a thing of beauty my circulars pouch would be if it was all neat and tidy. I think part of the reason why I haven't done it is I've been very nervous about snapping needles. You know, that has been a recurring theme. But I went to my circulars pouch and I undid all the needles that I wasn't using. I wound the cape. Excuse me, I wound the cables, I put them in their little bags, I put all the regular needles that came with the original set, I put them on the little card with the elastics on it to keep them neat and tidy. Some short tips that I have, I've tucked into one of the extra little you know, there's little holder things around the edges. I tucked those in there. I've got some needles that I haven't used yet, and I'm one of those who keeps things in the packet until I use them. It's a bit poncy, really, but I don't know why. It just makes me feel I've got something stored up, I suppose. And all the circulars in there that weren't part of that set and that were fixed, I've taken out and I've put them into a circular storage jar that my daughter made me last year, and I'm going to have to put a picture of that up because it's just fantastic. And in fact, I might ask her for another one this year. She also made me a calendar last year, and I'd like another one of those as well. So it's definitely not about the money from presents from her. She comes up with some brilliant ideas. So I've tidied it all up. And of course, yesterday I did want something at one point, because when I was doing these little hound, not the little houndales, the one cable mitts, there's a point where you've created the stitches for the thumb gusset and you put them on spare yarn and then just carry on knitting. And I find when I'm picking up stitches from spare yarn or from a lifeline, it's quite useful to do it initially with quite a fine needle, and then put them onto the actual needle you're going to be using. And I have one or two very thin fixed circulars that are very useful for that. So I had to go off and get one, but that was okay. I didn't mind. But it's really nice to have my circulars or my interchangeables pouch now, even though the zip is broken, the actual teeth work, but the little piece that you hang on to pull the zip backwards and forwards, that sheared off, you know, pretty much straight away. But I can still shut it, so I've got everything neatly tucked away in there. I've put all the yarn away that I'm not using. I've also separated out items that I had randomly shoved into two small tins. Now, I don't know where these tins came from. Actually, probably my mum passed them to me. I didn't look at them very closely. They're square. They're quite shallow. They're a brilliant size for stitch markers and, what do you call it, tapestry needles, that sort of thing. And if I'd had to say what I thought came in them originally, I probably would have come up with something like maybe tea bags. Well, I looked at one a little bit more closely the other day. I think it was upside down. I looked on the back and it said body form. I thought, oh, that's what they're for. Well, stuff that. I'm going to use them for stitch markers. So I've separated out the contents. Because if I was really careful and put these two, they're basically, they haven't got the same pattern on them, but they're exactly the same dimensions. If I put them side by side in my Notions bag, they fit and I can do it up, but you have to be quite careful about it. So what I've done is I've put into one of them all of the little interchangeable keys and the little round stoppers that you get that you can put on the end of a cable if you've had to take the needle off. I've put all of those together in one, and now that my interchangeables bag is so neat and tidy, I can put it in that. The other one has stitch holders, tapestry needles, all that sort of stitch markers, all that sort of stuff in it, not stitch holders, not like long safety pin type stitch holders, not like that, just little locking stitch markers that I have been known to put two or three stitches onto if necessary. They're all together in the other one, and of course it fits into the Notions bag easily now. My Notions bag is an old Miss Selfridge makeup bag I've had since about 1985. I'm quite proud of that. It's coming apart in one place, but I might ask my mum to mend it. I'm not sure I could part with it now. So that has made those things nicer, and it also means now that I can do up the Notions bag, no problem. I can do up the interchangeables bag, no problem. It feels like it's all rather more together. You know, it's just sitting on one end of the table, and it no longer looks like an explosion in the local yarn shop, which just, I don't know, it's silly. We've got so much, unfortunately, we've had illness and death in the family, we've had business problems, we've had these problems, we've had that problem. It's been so much shit, basically, lately, that it just makes me happy that my knitting table's tidy. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Small pleasures. Anyway, I'm going to have to go because a friend of mine's due to turn up shortly. Lovely talking to you. Please get in touch. I've been really delighted to see recently listener figures are rising. I've had some really lovely feedback. I've had some contact through Ravelry, you know, people getting in touch on Instagram and so on. And it's great because I really don't want to talk to myself. I'd much rather hear from you and, you know, see what you're up to and get your feedback on the podcast. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk again next week. Bye.